This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Our critics have been making their 10 best lists. Here's film critic Justin Chang with his.
The film world will remember 2017 as a terrible year of reckoning, as the widespread allegations of sexual harassment and abuse against Harvey Weinstein and other Hollywood power players triggered a wave of similar revelations in every sphere of political and cultural influence. Observing the fallout from Los Angeles, the home of the movie industry, it was hard not to feel sickened, heartbroken, and ultimately numbed by the deluge of accusations. It was also that much more of a relief, as a critic, to be able to surrender to the movies themselves. I loved so many of them this year that I wound up settling on 12 favorite titles, which I have ranked as a series of thematic pairings. Good movies speak to us, but also to each other. And in a year marked by stirring calls for solidarity, it feels right to be reminded that greatness is rarely a solo achievement. My favorite movie of the year is Call Me By Your Name, Luca Guadagnino's rapturous Italian summer of love romance, starring the remarkable Timothée Chalamet as a bookish 17-year-old who falls in love with a visiting graduate student, played by an impossibly dreamy Armie Hammer. It's an overpoweringly sensual piece of filmmaking that finds an almost Hitchcockian suspense in the push-pull of feelings that can't be publicly expressed. What stays with you is not just the movie's exquisite imagery, but its piercing, melancholy wisdom about the fleeting nature of pleasure and desire. I'm pairing Call Me By Your Name with my number two film of the year, another sun-splashed coming-of-age story. The Florida Project is Sean Baker's drama about a six-year-old girl named Mooney, played by the astonishing Brooklyn Prince, and her life in a three-story motel complex on the outskirts of Orlando. Shot in retina-searing sherbet hues, it's one of the most wrenching and thrillingly alive evocations of childhood I've ever seen. Paul Thomas Anderson's Phantom Thread is next on my list. This is an exquisite chamber piece starring Daniel Day-Lewis in a superb and possibly final screen performance as a 1950s London fashion designer. It's a hypnotic, darkly romantic comedy about creative genius, domestic fulfillment, and the inherently combative relationship between the two. You might say the same thing about my number four choice, Mother, Darren Aronofsky's magnificently unhinged horror thriller come biblical allegory starring Jennifer Lawrence. A lot of people couldn't abide it, but the cinema needs more of Aronofsky's mad, beautiful vision, not less. At number five and number six are two films about the role that communal spaces play in the human quest for knowledge. Ex Libris, the New York Public Library, from the master documentary filmmaker Frederick Wiseman, spends more than three riveting hours exploring 11 of the library's 92 branches, building a case for this great institution as a cornerstone of the city's social and intellectual life. It would make a lovely double bill with Columbus, a soulful and contemplative first feature from the Korean-American writer-director Kogonada. It stars John Cho and Haley Lou Richardson as two people finding conversation and companionship as they tour the awe-inspiring modernist architecture of Columbus, Indiana. I'm not sure what insanity compelled me to pair Terence Davies' gorgeous Emily Dickinson biopic, A Quiet Passion, with S. Craig Zahler's brutal prison thriller, Brawl in Cell Block 99. But beyond their superficial differences, both movies are, in the end, about two uncompromising individuals retreating from society and descending fearlessly into their own personal solitude. They feature two of the year's best performances, from Cynthia Nixon and Vince Vaughn, respectively. And they're both surprisingly funny. In this scene from A Quiet Passion, Dickinson, played by Nixon, exchanges some wry banter with a friend, played by Catherine Bailey.
Will you go with us to church, Miss Buffum?
Of course not. Going to church is like going to Boston. You only enjoy it after you've gotten home.
We are to pray for the repose of our late pastor's soul.
Doesn't that rather depend on where it's gone?
We shall become fast friends.
Of course we shall. I'm irresistible. Everyone says so. When the new pastor does arrive, you must point him out to me.
So that you too may be saved.
No. So that I will know whom to avoid.
Young college-bound women and the overbearing parents who love them, however imperfectly, lead my choices for number 9 and number 10. You've probably already heard about Lady Bird, a pitch-perfect comedy that announces Greta Gerwig as a terrifically deft feature filmmaker, and affirms Saoirse Ronan as one of the most gifted actresses of her generation. You may have heard less about Graduation, a gripping moral thriller written and directed by Christian Munju, who turns a story of assault and academic dishonesty into a grim indictment of corruption in his native Romania. The final two films on my list are both summer blockbusters, and each one is an inspired marriage of the old and the new. War for the Planet of the Apes, directed with stark, wintry elegance by Matt Reeves, is classicism at its most cutting edge, full of skillful digital illusions that compel our awestruck belief. Christopher Nolan's World War II epic, Dunkirk, is more like old Hollywood avant-garde, a throwback to the glory days of 70mm filmmaking that audaciously bends land, sea, and air, and also time, space, and narrative, to its will. Together, they offer strikingly complementary visions of what Hollywood filmmaking can accomplish.
Justin Chang is film critic for the LA Times.